This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carol Van Dam, and here's what's coming up.
Hundreds of people started arriving at polling stations in Chad's capital, N'Djamena, as early as 5:30 a.m. local time. Among the voters at the University of N'Djamena was 29-year-old student Abdul Kora.
Je vote en acte civique, et donc tout citoyen est appelé normalement à voter.
Kora says voting is his civic right. He says he is calling on all.
Voting is wrapping up in Chad's presidential election. Also, Togo's opposition says it needs to reinvent itself after winning just 5 seats in legislative elections. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. Chad's presidential election concludes today with civilians going to the polls a day after members of the military cast their ballots. Transitional President General Mahama Idriss Deby is facing 9 challengers, including his current prime minister. The election, designed to end 3 years of a military government, has largely been peaceful so far. However, there is tension over a ban on taking pictures of election result sheets at polling stations. Moki Edwin Kinseka has more from neighboring Cameroon.
Hundreds of people started arriving at polling stations in Chad's capital, N'Djamena, as early as 5:30 a.m. local time. Among the voters at the University of N'Djamena was 29-year-old student Abdul Kora.
Le vote est un acte civique, et donc tout citoyen est appelé normalement à voter.
Kora says voting is his civic right. He says he is calling on all civilians, especially youths, to come out in huge numbers and vote for their leader in peace. He says he is also pleading with Chad's transitional government to avoid chaos by ensuring that the elections are transparent and free, and the winner would be who civilians have voted for. Early voting was peaceful. However, Chad's National Election Management Agency, known as ANJ, said that several thousand polling stations opened late due to what they call logistical difficulties. Chad's transitional president, General Mahamat Idriss Deby, voted in N'Djamena's 2nd district. Chad says over 2,500 national and international observers from 120 groups are accredited to monitor the elections. Sirin Gwangeng Chapsap is the spokesperson for observers from the 6-nation Central African Economic and Monetary Commission. He has concerns that peace will not hold.
Si nous remontons à 2 semaines telles que fixées, ça veut dire que...
He says perceivable tensions over a ban on filming or taking photos of results sheets in polling stations and publishing them on social media and radio and television are likely to degenerate into violent clashes because civilians think that the Central African State Elections Management Body is controlled by Deby, who created it. Chasep says he does not understand why Chad is reluctant to proclaim election results in a day or two, as was the case in Senegal's March 24 presidential polls. Opposition and civil society groups, including the Transformers Party of Deby's main challenger, Success Masra, said they planned to photograph the election results sheets and distribute them to the international community. They say the move is to prevent ANJ from rigging the elections in favor of Deby. Tahi Oloy Hassan is ANJ's spokesperson. Hassan says ANJ is a permanent, independent, and impartial body that does not receive orders from any state authority, including Deby.
ANJ est une institution d'abord permanente, indépendante.
He says the ban on filming and taking photos of results sheets and prohibition of media organs from having access to some polling stations and sensitive areas is to reduce tensions that may arise from misinformation and manipulation by people who want to see Chad in chaos. He said claims by opposition candidates that Chad's military was instructed to vote for Deby when they went to the polls on Sunday are unfounded. Ange says it has up to May 21 to publish provisional results, and only Chad's Constitutional Council has the powers to proclaim definitive results. The elections are designed to end 3 years of transition that followed the death of Idris Deby Itno in 2021. Mulki Edwin Kinzuka, VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
An Israeli military spokesman said today that the country is preparing a limited scope operation, in his words, in Rafah, with an estimated 100,000 people being warned to leave the evacuation area there. Some Palestinian families were seen leaving areas east of Rafah. Israel has previously issued such warnings amid its campaign to eliminate the Hamas militant group in the Gaza Strip. Many of the Palestinians in Rafah traveled there seeking shelter after Israel warned them to flee other parts of Gaza. Israel has said an offensive in Rafah is necessary to defeat Hamas, while the United States, the United Nations, and others have warned of a potential humanitarian catastrophe if Israel, in fact, carries out a large-scale attack in the area where more than half of Gaza's population is now sheltering. Negotiators have been trying to find a breakthrough in ceasefire talks aimed at bringing a temporary halt in fighting and the release of hostages still held by Hamas in Gaza. Nigeria is cracking down on electoral fraud, marking a turning point for African democracy. After the turbulent 2023 general elections, the country has nation that has initiated prosecutions against offenders of the March 4, 2024, aiming to restore credibility. Gibson Emeka reports from Abuja.
In a significant move, 196 suspects are now facing prosecution for offense during Nigeria general election. The Nigeria Bar Association, alongside the Independent National Election Commission, INEC, announced large case hearing in court across Nigeria Monday, 4th March 2024, emphasizing the country's readiness to tackle electoral corruption. Officials from INEC and political parties are among those facing trial. Citizens like Stephen John have widely praised this move as a step in the right direction.
For us to sanitize our electoral system, there's a need for those who, you know, who break the law during elections to be prosecuted, so that you serve as a deterrent for others who want to go the same route.
Electoral fraud has long plagued Nigeria, eroding trust in its democracy. And that's why Nigerians like Igwe Friday are still skeptical.
In a country like Nigeria, election violence, when you take the matter to court, before you know, they'll quash the matter will not go anywhere.
This marks the first time Nigeria pursued charges against electoral offender despite constitutional provision. The Nigeria Bar Association is providing a free legal service to INEC to ensure the effective prosecution of those who undermine the electoral process. Out of the arrests made by the Nigeria police during the 2023 general poll, 215 cases were filed, with 197 of them being electoral offense. All cases are tried in the regular court system, as Nigeria hasn't established an independent electoral offense commission yet. Jide Ojo, an electoral and governance expert, cites political interference as a major obstacle in fighting electoral crimes.
But let's not be too optimistic. These characters in the political class are the primary beneficiary of the electoral offenses. So they are not in a hurry. Because making stringent law or having to establish an independent commission to sit to prosecution is like you are shooting yourself in the foot. So they are not in a hurry to ensure that these electoral offenses commission is established through the instrumentality of the law.
Various offenses include conspiracy, vote intimidation, vote buying, and violence were observed during the last election. In Nigeria, electoral crime lacks a defined trial timeline, unlike election dispute resolution, leading to prolonged legal processes lasting months or even years. While cases are underway, Ojo emphasized the importance of breaking the culture of impunity to rebuild trust.
There must be an elite consensus to do away with this issue of electoral offenses. It does not portray us as a civilized people, as a democracy.
As Africa's most populated country in Africa, Nigeria's electoral integrity holds a massive significance for the continent. The recent Electoral Act reform of 2022 has laid the groundwork for justice and transparency, offering hope for a future of credible, free and fair election in Nigeria. Will Nigeria government bring it to fruition, the next round of presidential election set for February 2027 might bring some answer. Gibson Emeka for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
Togo's opposition says it needs to reinvent itself after winning just 5 seats in legislative elections it has dismissed as an electoral masquerade. Opposition parties hoped for a strong showing in the April 29th ballot after contesting a constitutional reform that they say will allow President Faure Gnassingbé to extend his nearly 2-decade rule. His ruling, Union for the Republic, or UNIR party, won 108 of the 113 parliament seats in the small West African state. Under the new constitution, Togo's leader can now assume a new role as president of the Council of Ministers, a kind of prime minister position, which critics say will allow him to skirt term limits. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you will find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs, as well as a whole lot more. For world news, please check out voanews.com. Threats to democracy have overtaken the economy and immigration as the chief concern of U.S. voters ahead of the 2024 presidential election, according to a recent Ipsos poll. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias breaks down the results.
When they showed up at the polls in March, registered Democratic and Republican voters in Arizona were clear about who they'd like their party to formally nominate for the 2024 presidential race. Howard Webster voted in Phoenix.
Joe Biden, I think he's the only candidate that offers us freedom, democracy, and freedom for everybody, not just people that vote for you.
Voter Nicholas Pella.
I voted for Donald Trump. I believe he's the only one who's willing to stand up for the Constitution as it was written. And he's the only one that's being attacked by everybody else for that reason.
Political extremism and threats to democracy are the most important problems facing the United States, according to voters polled by Ipsos in mid-April. Democrats worry about authoritarianism. Clifford Young is president at Ipsos Public Affairs.
Really, Democrats, when they say saving democracy, they're really saying saving democracy from Trump. We call this the anti-Trump vote. And by our estimate, it's about 25% of the adult population.
Independents side with Democrats in their concerns. But Republicans see the protection of democracy in a different light. Clifford Young is president at Ipsos Public Affairs.
Many of the critiques on the right among Republicans is of a broken system, a system controlled by the elites or rigged by the elites. So ultimately, when Republicans are defining saving democracy, they're really talking about election machinery and the fairness of elections in general.
Trump himself has instilled a sense of urgency into his followers.
If we don't win on November 5th, I think our country is going to cease to exist. It could be the last election we ever have. I actually mean that.
In his re-election bid, President Joe Biden also warns about the risks he sees in Trump returning to the White House.
Our democracy is really at risk. When he talks about being a dictator on the first day, he means being able to negate elements of the Constitution.
With the caveat that polls are only snapshots in time, 38% of voters polled by Ipsos think Biden has a better plan to approach threats to democracy compared to 29% who believe that Trump does. Clifford Young is president at Ipsos Public Affairs.
Biden is an establishment candidate. He is a creature of the establishment. He is seen as order and stability. Trump, more specifically, kind of represents that deviation from the establishment.
Behind the protection of democracy itself, voters polled put the economy and immigration as their top concerns ahead of the general election. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
Reporters Without Borders, or RSF as it's known, recently released its World Press Freedom Annual Rankings, which do not paint a pretty picture overall. Out of the five indicators used to compile the index, RSF's West Africa Bureau Director Sadibo Murung says in Africa the most problematic showing was the political indicator. He tells me that has had a chilling effect on many journalists in Africa, especially in the Sahel region, where there has been a surge in deadly violence.
It's this political indicator everywhere in the world that has fallen most, registering a global average of fall of 7.6 points all over in the world. And that from our analysis, that shows that how government really failed to protect journalism and to take a very important decision for journalism itself and an enabling environment for journalists. And it's a very worrying trend. And it was kind of in more than a lot of countries in the world, including in Africa. Yeah.
And speaking of that, it's been a particularly tough year for reporting in the Sahel and the Sahara region, as you know, where there's been numerous military coups in recent times. Can you elaborate on that?
In the Sahel, the situation is extraordinarily bad because we are facing in those areas, like in Mali, in Burkina Faso, and in Niger, which are, I mean, the three countries in the Sahel, central Sahel. I mean, they all those countries, their ranking this year has extraordinarily dropped. For example, the Niger fell 19 places as a result of the draconian measures they have adopted, not only the military junta that took power the country that took power in a coup, and then in Burkina Faso the country has fallen 28 places, while in Mali has even not evaluated. There is no improvement from Mali. I mean, this shows how the overall situation of journalism is in those countries, including even in Chad, where, for example, we have seen a journalist killed, for example, a community-related journalist killed. What is happening now? I mean, we are in a kind of context where you can see in those countries, I mean, the surge of what they consider the juntas, they consider as, you know, a kind of patriotic injunctions which are still going on. For them, the journalism should only be one-way journalism, like the statesman they sent to media should be read on the TV, should be, you know, exploited by radio station, or should be copied and passed by TV by newspapers or online media. This is problematic. They have taken very draconian measures, for example, to expel all those who have been in the Sahel as correspondents or international correspondent for international media, like RFI, which is blocked, like France 24, which is suspended and blocked, like Le Monde. And even now, since this week we are launching the World Press Freedom Day, even this week they have suspended six new media, including Voice of America, BBC, and some African outlets. This is problematic. And so as to show their narrative is the only one narrative which should prevail.
I would imagine that with several journalists that you say were suspended or forced to leave the country, that are foreign journalists, that's got to have a chilling effect on other journalism media operations.
Yes. I mean, there is a chilling effect of all the media itself. Now, I mean, even the will for those who would like to become journalists is blocked by the fact that they are away. When they go to journalism school, they won't see a better future doing journalism inside their countries.
That was Sadibou Morong, Reporters Without Borders West Africa bureau chief, speaking days before World Press Freedom Day on Friday. He was speaking with me from Dakar, Senegal. An inquiry into a fire that killed 77 people in Johannesburg last year has blamed neglect by authorities. Reuters News reports the probe found that the municipality had allowed a building to become a den for guns, murder, drugs, and combustible trash, and it also failed to evacuate it once it was clear that there was a hazard. South Africa opened the inquiry last October to determine responsibility for the blaze on August 31st last year in the rundown center of its commercial hub. The fire casts light on the gangs that seize abandoned public buildings to illegally then rent them out. Many victims were so badly burned they had to be identified with DNA testing. In the full report, which Reuters reviewed, the justices said that the city acknowledges that it failed to comply with the applicable laws, but the city said that it should not be held accountable since the building's decline was facilitated by the what it called illegal conduct of the residents and threats issued to its officials and the hijacking of the building, end quote. Well, I have here in the studio with me our VOA sports analyst intern, Omolemo Kale, and he's here to fill us in about the English Premier League and NBA playoff results from these past few days. Welcome to A&T, Omolemo.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
So let's start out. What are the results of the English Premier League so far?
So there were a couple of great matches over the weekend, but some to highlight were our Arsenal versus Bournemouth. They had a 3-0 win, Arsenal, which keeps them as number one. Mm-hmm. And for Liverpool versus Tottenham was also a very great game. Liverpool got to beat Tottenham 4-2 in a very exciting match. Manchester City versus Wolves also happened over the weekend. Manchester City beat Wolves 5-1. This leaves Arsenal in first place just by 1 point over Manchester City being second and Liverpool remaining third place.
Lots of exciting action there. So let's hear some updates on the exciting NBA playoffs. And may I just say, I was very upset, pretty heartbroken when the Bucks got knocked out a few days ago. But moving on.
Yes, indeed. Well, the NBA playoffs were very exciting. Right now, we're entering the official semifinals for the NBA playoffs. In the East Coast, Boston Celtics are playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Indiana Pacers are playing the New York Knicks. And on the West Coast, Oklahoma City Thunder are playing the Dallas Mavericks, and Minnesota Timberwolves are playing the Denver Nuggets. Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves already faced the Nuggets on Saturday and got their win in a 1-0 lead first in the series. Anthony Edwards with a career high of 43 points.
Okay, any other big sports news right now to fill us in on?
Yes, indeed. So we have our amazing BAL Sahara Conference. Our Armee Patriotique Rwandais beats Union Sportive Monastirienne 89-84. River Hoopers Basketball Club beats Association Sportive des Dionnes 77-68. Rivers Hoopers Basketball in a back-to-back beat Armee Patriotique Rwandais 86-82. And Association Sportive des Dionnes beat Union Sportive Monastirienne 76-59.
Can I just say, I'm glad you're saying those names, not me. Yes. That is Omolemo Kale. He's our sports analyst intern. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And that wraps it up for this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Nabil Biagio, and our engineer, Helen Kuardian, thanks for joining us on The Voice of America.